Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is a continuation. This is the 11th recording of The Secret of the Love of God, taking us from page 62 and moving through some latter parts of the book where Sidi refers to. We'll be doing some reading from there as well. We'll start with the Fatiha, and then we'll move into the various places that Sidi is taking us. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. We're starting at the top of page 62, and the first reference is to read from page 254 to 60, on this chapter called On the Classification of Lovers, Fi Aqsam al-Muhibin, and the Direct Experience of Tasting by the Navigators, Wa Atwab as-Salikin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Know, my beloved, and may Allah protect you, that for the navigators of the road to Allah, as-salikin, the stations of love are classified in three groups. The first group is the people who arrive at love by way of beauty and imagination and do not go beyond that. Second group is the people who arrive both by way of the senses and intellect. The third group of people arrive by way of the intellect, and these people surpass the other two. The first class of lovers, the subject of their love is the world of bodies with the beauty of its pictures and the excellence of its shapes and no more. Their love does not go beyond this to the realm of inner imagination. They are mesmerized by the excellent proportions of the forms, the beauty of the splendor of what they see, and the excellent, marvelous making of the creatures. In this love, many expressions are used by ordinary people to indicate a sensual state like distance and proximity, communion and repulsion, absence and presence, veiling and unveiling, separation and meeting all other sensual phenomena. Those who possess this state of love only understand the physical symptoms without the meanings which are the spirits within the bodies. So you find that those who possess this love destroy their lives in lamenting the obliterated lands, mourning over the ruins, yearning for the old homes, longing for the houses of those whom they loved, and having an ardent passion for those who live in the houses. All of these symptoms are of those who are overcome by illusion and imagination, for illusion makes them imagine that the essence of the beauty they are in search of is a handsome form and a good physical state. There is nothing beyond that. This illusion overpowers them until they love the beautiful forms, ruining their souls in physical pursuit of them. Their sensual passion blinds them from seeing what is behind the beautiful forms. They do not see the real beauty that is revealed as the divine epiphany within them. The real beauty is the messenger of the holy realm to the purified souls, but Others have asked for things from a place that does not have this beauty, as is expressed in the saying, "Can you return to surrender after death? Does blindness remove a mirage, an illusion, or the lament for a ruined house?" This type of love results in imagery and ambiguity, and if this is the state of a sadhak, he could end up like ordinary people, following brutal tendencies or committing what is prohibited by divine law. This type of love intensifies with meeting the physical form, but decreases with separation and perishes swiftly at death. There's nothing which suffices the lover in the final abode. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Friends will be enemies to each other that day, save for those who remain conscious of Allah and ward off evil al-muttaqin from within and without." Quran 43:67. Stopping in such a state is a veil from the divine realities. It was narrated that one of the Gnostics, the Irfan, saw a man weeping on a grave and asked him why he was weeping. The man said to him, "The person in the grave was very dear, and I cannot find patience to bear being separated from her." The Gnostic said, "Oh, you who are oppressing yourself because your loved one has died. If you loved the one who does not die, then you would not suffer this result because of your ardent love for him." The states of those who are filled with sensual passion are known. There's no need to speak more describing their states. The second class of lovers. These are the lovers who attain love through sensuality, but also use rationality and intelligence. They do not stop in the world of pictures, but they go beyond them. These lovers are many, especially among the navigators, as-sadiqin. The object of love for this class of lovers is the beauty attached to the vessel from which, after immersing themselves in the path of gnosis, they succeed in extracting love. In this state, the sense of seeing sends a sensual picture to the imagination, with all of its attachments to the physical form, but contemplation divests the image from its perishable features and transfers the spirits of its meaning to the soul that rejoices in the spiritual picture rather than in the physical form. But the soul is not completely satisfied only with the spiritual picture. It seeks the complete meaning in the outer world. The search for meaning leads the soul to seek unity with the outer picture. This love is in the middle between the two parts of the human being, the physical and spiritual. It's noble concerning its realities, which occur in the soul, and the soul rejoices in it, a joy greater than that of the physical energies. This love often leads to the direct tasting of the third type of love, but in itself it is lacking, for it is attached to a particular person. The joy that results is intensified by the presence of the beloved and decreases with his absence. The soul is not in complete harmony with the meaning which took place. There are conditions and signs for this love. One of its signs is that the lover prefers the beloved more than anything else, because if he thought that the world was more perfect than his beloved or more beautiful, he would have spent his energy in loving the world. Another sign is that the heart becomes void except for the beloved, and exerts its utmost effort to please the beloved, so that no room remains for another, even for himself. He corresponds with his beloved with his whole self, and this becomes his state in union with the beloved, and also in separation from the beloved. Honor and humiliation are the same to him. and so is giving and deprivation and other actions of his beloved, which he does not see as contradictions. He sees it as all good because he sees it as one, because it issues from one beloved. The ascending way from this love to a higher love is provided to those whom Allah grants success. Then you will know that the picture of the beloved is the picture that occurs and issues from within yourself. Physical pictures do not endure, and the picture within does not remain attached to the physical form. The inner picture does not pass away with the passing away of the physical picture. If you realize this, you become attached to meaning instead of to form. And this suffices you more than the physical picture, which perishes, until this abstracted picture imprints itself within your soul and completely mixes with you in passionate longing. The soul refines, softens, and enlightens with this realization because of the acceptance of the immortal lights, and sees the spiritual pictures within the self. Then the soul ascends and continues to be attached to the nobler, then to the noblest, until it attains what is in its capacity to attain. The third class of lovers. These lovers are the ones who observe the holy beauty that is revealed in the epiphany within themselves from the realm of the lights, and so their souls accept it within themselves to the extent of their readiness for it. The image of this holy beauty imprints within them like the image of the sun upon a luminous mirror. The soul adjusts to this light until it becomes like a gem by this light. It can see the luminous self or essence and the traces and effects of the luminous realm, and so falls in love with the essence and becomes the holy light. This is the ultimate result of love. Other stations of love which precede the station are but the progress towards this love, because the real purpose is to bring the lovers to proximity to the essence of unity until they are attributed by this love. The station of the virtuous worshippers, the maqam ibad Allahi salihin, is the goal of people who possess gnosis, irfan, and perfection, kamal. Their drink is the purest and the freshest. This is a station of honor that none of the people of falsehood and ignorance can claim. They cannot arrive at this state except by spiritual practices and discipline joined with their lordship's attentive care. When the station is attained, there's no fear that it may disappear, because it is free of the displays which pass away. This is the love through which the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is expressed when he says, whom he loves and who love him, Quran 5:54, can be understood. In this ayah, he shows that his love for them precedes their love for him and is a condition that leads to their love for him. A characteristic of his love for his worshipful slave is that he causes the worshipful slave to walk in search of his love, and then he grants him the success of gnosis. Without him easing the way for the slave to love him, the slave would not experience his love. Similarly, without him showing what leads to gnosis, the slave would not have the chance to have gnosis, because how else could absolute non-existence, Adam Alif Mutlak, know the necessary being? Regarding the love of the creature for Allah, it manifests as an inclination of the self which lacks comprehension, when it becomes completely conscious of what it is lacking and becomes concerned about whether its comprehension of reality is complete or partial, in order for it to incline further towards the perfection of its essence, which it feels is missing. This is because In the innermost essence, there is a love of perfection. This love is imprinted within so that the self longs to attain its utmost potential in accordance with what is designated for it. If human love is characterized by this quality, the love of perfection, then know that the love of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his worshipful slave, is not like this. This is because every beauty, perfection, luminosity, majesty, continuity, and persistence in the world is beneficial, and it exists by him, and so he does not turn his attention to any other than himself, and he does not see any otherness because of his self-sufficiency and the perfection of his self, Adhat. He does not look but to his self, and so he does not love but his self. So if you look and realize the actual state of the whole of existence, you will find nothing in it except his self and his actions. He is the whole, and everything else is non-existence, Adam, in reality. If the whole world is the action of Allah, if the whole world is the action of Allah and he loves it, then in reality he does not love but his self, because actions are him, are his, and by him. This is why when Allah is saying, whom he loves and who love him, Quran 5:54, was recited to one of the friends of Allah, he said, truly, he loves them because he does not love but his self, and he is the whole. So he is the lover and the beloved, and all things are nothing in themselves but non-existence, while the absolute true existence is to the real. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as expressed in these poetic verses. There is nothing for us but a non-existent state, and to our Lord is pre-eternity and eternity. So it is affirmed that the love of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his worshipful slave, is the reality by which the love of the worshipful slave manifests for Allah. If this were not the case, then there would be no love in the world. Divine love is the loftiest reference to which all proportions of love, whether low or high, are related, and to it love ends. These proportions show the ultimate limitless love, and this is why I say, whatever is manifest is his face, and whatever is hidden is the greatest. There is no doubt he is manifest, for he is the concealed in proportionate appearance. Do not say, how can I reach him? Within him, from him, you will understand. Know, my beloved, that the real epiphanies to his worshippers are in everything. They witness him in every witnessed thing, and they see him in every existence, when their selves are annihilated in witnessing his self. This does not mean by incarnation, hulul, which is a quality of the accidental existences. When the worshipful slave is annihilated and is absent from himself, his Lord testifies that there has always been Allah and nothing with him, and he is still as he was. In this way, the lovers are freed from themselves and are overpowered by the qualities of the thoughtfully abstracted affability and cordiality, uns, and by the intoxication of the states. And this does not mean by incarnation, which is suitable for bodies as expressed in the saying of Al-Halaj, may Allah be pleased with him. I am who I am, whom I love, and he whom I love is I. There is nothing in existence except whom I fell in love with. Similarly, this was also expressed by another Gnostic. I am the Quran, and the seven verses, Asabarmathani al-Fatiha, and the spirit of the spirit, not the spirit of the meanings. My innermost heart stays with the one in charge of me, intimately conversing with him. So forget about my tongue, do not look in your way toward my body. I have what suffices me, which is more than I can receive from you. Dive into the ocean of the self, and you will see a marvel that is not apparent to direct experience. Whoever understands the illusion, let him describe it, or he will be slaughtered by the ginning mills, as the ginner Al-Halaj of love was killed. When the Son of the Truth appeared to him through descending, he said, I am he, the real, whose self does not change with the passing of time. My beloved, these are the homes of the navigators of the road to Allah and their stations in general. May Allah grant you and me their blessings and make you and me steadfast in reaching these lofty stations until we meet him in the eternal bliss. The footnote for ginning, ginning mills. Ginning is a process by which cotton fiber is separated from its seed and waste material. In Arabic, this is the meaning of the word Al-Halaj. Al-Halaj was also the name of the prominent Sufi who spoke of the transcendence reality of the essence of Allah. And there's an annotation from the book Children of the Truth, chapter 6, which is another book by Sidi. So we return now to page 62. Assalamu alaikum. This is a blessed morning. It's the day Allah was established upon his throne of authority beyond the seven heavens. He created seven heavens and seven earths in 6 days. Then he established himself upon the throne and he asked, to whom is the dominion today? No one answered but himself, by himself, and he said, it is to Allah. To Allah, the One, the Suppressor. This is the dominion of Allah, and everything in existence is His creation, the visible and the invisible. He revealed Himself in the epiphany of this world through His divine names, by His name, the All-Hearing, the All-Seeing, the Manifest, the Hidden, by Hu, H-U, and by His name, the Living, and His name, the Mighty. This is Allah. This is the divine epiphany through which he manifested himself to all creation. He revealed himself to the water and made every living thing from the water. When he revealed himself to the water, he made everything alive come from it. As he says in his Quran, we made everything living. So there are two waters, a manifested water and a hidden water. It is through water that he manifests himself and gives every creature what is particular to him and what knowledge he has. And he took a covenant with all the creatures to preserve this water as pure and clean, so do not pollute it, but use it in accordance with his divine commands and in accordance with his prohibitions. If water is used for something which Allah does not want, then it is a betrayal. It's a betrayal of Allah. For example, the water of love is pure and holy and sacred. So it should be kept in the place which Allah has prepared for it. Love originated from His word, be. This means that the secret of existence which manifests upon you, O human, is that Allah made you a vicegerent on the earth. And he says in his Quran, we offered the trust to the heavens and the earth, and they were afraid to carry it, but the human being carried it. This is not any human. It's the human which Allah created with his own hands. As he says, I am creating a person out of dry clay, transmuted from dark slimy mud. So when I have fashioned him and have breathed into him from my spirit, and fall down before him in prostration. Quran 15, 28 through 9. We are speaking about the human species. Allah did not specify that a human prostrate to a man or to a woman. It's the human species which is Allah's outer and inner manifestation. He created everything with divine accuracy and perfection. This is the human he created. We are speaking about the humanity, the human species, without discrimination between white or black or yellow or male or female. Allah says that he created out of that mold its mate, and then out of the soul offspring of men and women, which is from this pure water. This is why any man who betrays his wife or any woman who betrays her husband betrays this holy water. Anything that comes from this water that is betrayed is something that you cannot imagine or comprehend with your mind. Allah shows us the way of return because he loves us. He asks, "Why do you put my essence in a place that is not my essence?" He will never let you return unless you feel regret and sorrow for what you did, because Allah is the pure love. He gives us his own image by his name, the manifest. He gives us this so that we may annihilate in this love in accordance with what he wills. And he taught us how to do this. Whoever wants to have patience and to attain what Allah wants from him must swim in this ocean, which is full of the water of knowledge, direct knowledge of God, of divine beauty, divine love, and divine gnosis. Let him hear my words, because the ship of salvation and safety is prepared and is here through Allah's lovers and the prophets and the messengers and those who inherit the praiseworthy characteristics of the messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the heir of this time, one like me who is poor and who serves everyone who wants to ride in the ship of safety. Before you ride in the ship, you must surrender to the commands of Allah, the ones he gave to Moses when he told him to take off his shoes because he was in the holy valley of Sinai, that holy valley in which Allah spoke directly to Moses and said, "I am your Lord. I am your Lord. Listen to what I will reveal to you. I see and I hear Allah as the all-seeing and the all-hearing, and all of his beautiful names manifest through the ship of salvation that carries the divine love. I call you to come ride in it on the condition that your actions are in alignment with your state of being. You must surrender and confirm the truth in your heart that there is no lordship except for Allah's. And you must submit to your Lord. There is no God but God. That you accept Islam as your religion and Muhammad as your messenger, as well as all the other prophets and messengers. Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and all of them are the prophets of Allah and his lovers. You must become a divine slave carrying the message of love, peace, and mercy. You must become an outer expression of the divine essence. First, through your tongue, by affirming that there is no God but God. And then through your limbs and your outer organs. So never use your tongue except to speak the truth, because he said that humans never utter a word except that a mighty watcher is watching them. So you must never use your tongue except in a good way. And never use it in an offensive way to hurt someone. You should not backbite by speaking evil about anyone. Never hurt someone with words. Only speak the truth. Do not lie. But be truthful with your tongue. The tongue is only a piece of flesh, but when you pass away from this lower world, this piece of flesh will not talk anymore. Could you make it talk? You only speak because it's the manifestation of his name. the one who speaks. It is also not permissible to use your eyes to spy on someone, to violate their privacy, or to use them in the wrong way. The same thing applies regarding your hearing. Your divine journey began the first moment you came to this lower world. But your pre-eternal journey occurred before you were. The journey of yourself and your essence began as a luminous body, not a physical body. You did not always have this physical body. It's a metaphorical, illusory body, an imagined body, because it will perish and disappear. This is why, in walking our way, we make the body in this lower world a servant. When you are following Allah's commands, only then will the human veil be removed. When Musa arrived at the station in which he could speak directly with his protector, Allah said, "Take off your shoes." This is an allusion to both the lower world and the final world. You must take off both. This is why Rabia said to her Lord, "My God and my beloved, I have never worshipped you from fear of your fire or from greed and desire for your garden. I am not of those who love you from fear of fire or love of the garden. My dowry is you, Allah, nothing else." And this is the true migration. Allah said to Musa, "Take off your shoes because you are standing in the holy Sinai Valley." What is the holy valley? It is where Allah is without shape or form, how or why. There is nothing like unto Him. "How can you see Him?" Musa said, "Please let me see you." And Allah said, "You will not see me as you are, but look at the mountains. If the mountain stays in place, then you can see me." The one who is asleep never celebrates at the party. Whoever wants to attend this celebration, let him never close his eyes and never sleep. What if you had a beautiful bride in front of you? What if you had a handsome man in front of you? Would you sleep or be able to sleep? O foolish one, this is an example from the lower world. I am preparing the table for you to join this divine celebration, and you are asleep. Whoever goes fishing will have food, but if he is not present during the fishing, someone else will eat it. Let us return to the station of the presence, and we ask your forgiveness for turning to anything else. Musa said, "Let me see your presence, and my Lord, let me see you, my beloved. Give me a chance to see your beauty. Please annihilate me from myself by you, Allah, because I am poor. You have provided me with abundance, but I am poor and in need of you. If you do not forgive me, I will be one of those who will perish." And this is an example of the polite manners of the prophets. Who knows Musa? Who has his seeing and hearing? No one knows Musa except the one who is seeing and hearing his Creator. I know him as I know my Lord, and I love him as I love my Lord. I love all of them because they are the children of the Divine Presence. I do not make any distinctions between them, and I love all of them, and I love those who talk with their tongue and act like them because they are images of the Divine. Allah said to Musa, "You will not see me, but look at the mountain. If the mountain stays in place, you will see me." What is the mountain? It's a small metaphor. It's your own body, the human. And Allah made an allusion to it because Allah said, "The heavens and the earth cannot contain me, but the heart of my believer contains me." This is because the human body is like a mountain, a metaphorical mountain. It's the throne of Allah. The human heart is the throne of Allah within, which he is established with authority. Whoever knows him and surrenders to his commands will be able to see him. Allah will never allow anyone to see him in a place that is not pleasing to him. He said to Musa, "Look, Musa, inside your own mountain, you will find me within it. When Allah revealed himself to the mountain, Musa looked inside his own heart and found his beloved Lord. And what happened then to the human body in that station? It returned to the station of being the drop of water at the moment when the father planted it in the womb of the mother. He became so pure that the human ghost disappeared. Musa returned to the origin of himself, to his essence, to the light, to when Allah took the light from his face and said, "Be existence." Musa returned to that light. Musa returned to the light and knew the truth and completely annihilated in Allah. Allah then replaced his humanity with another humanity, which was luminous. This is not like any other humanity. It's more subtle and real, where he sees with the eyes of Allah and hears with the ears of Allah. Then Allah returned him to where he wanted, back to the world, to convey the message, and he gave him the ability to take any picture so that people would be able to communicate with him and understand the message. When Musa woke up, he returned to his origin and said, "Glory belongs to you. I have been among those who have been oppressors because I wasted a lot of my life without seeing your lights and your eternal beauty, O Allah." This is an introduction to what you were offered in this book. Please excuse its length, but I want to convey the message of my Lord, and I ask you to prepare yourself for this journey. For now I will transmit to you how to travel and to attain annihilation and the utter destruction of everything except Allah. Only then will you find Allah, and he gives everything, everyone, what he needs. And now he's directing us to the last chapter of the book, a general allusion to passionate longing, al-ishq, and the states connected to it. Page 284. "Know, my beloved, that passionate longing for Allah is the highest degree of love. All of the stations of love, like yearning, shauq, ardent passion, gharam, bewilderment, dash, ecstatic finding, wajib, annihilation, al-fana, and fascination, iftinan, are included in it." This is why a Gnostic said, "Everyone who is deeply affected by passionate longing, al-ashik, is a lover, but not every lover is al-ashik." Linguistically, love can also mean to will, as it is used in the phrase, "I love to do such and such." But ishq cannot be used here in place of will. People are unable to know the limit of the station in the same way that no one is able to know the limit of love, which is the initial state of passionate longing and which also leads to it. The location of the station is hidden and cannot be recognized, and minds are perplexed and cannot understand its mastery. A Gnostic once said, "The limit of passionate longing is when the beauty's shadow is blended with all that leads to it." Another Gnostic said, "The ishq is an intensive longing for union." There's no doubt that it means the union of the essence of the beloved with the essence of the lover, an intellectual union that demands complete forgetfulness of his being by the lover, by being occupied in witnessing his beloved in his essence, through his essence. One of the Gnostics said, "The ishq is divine madness, junun lillahi," which means that it is not grasped by the mind, and it does not result in what is good for a healthy body, but it ruins the body and effaces it. Truly, when kings enter a city, they ruin it, Quran 27:34. This is because as witnessing, the spiritual qualities become stronger. The physical image is destroyed and the human form is effaced in accordance with the extent of abandoning the physical benefits. There's no doubt that passionate longing for Allah is the highest bond in comparison to both lowly and lofty relationships. Without passionate longing, there would not have been any motion in the universe, nor any moving being, nor any perfect station or perfecting process. Every luminous essence in the loftiest realm is either a lover, al-ashiq, or a loved one, al-mashuq. And the proportion of passion flows from that into all the creatures. Even within solid bodies, we find bodies attracted to each other by a hidden bond of love that is concealed from the minds of humans. As it was said, ah, marvelous eternity, with every heart full of passionate longing, even water is fondly loved by wine. Know that there is nothing in the world of a subtle, latif, or coarse khatif nature that does not have another object to which it is attracted. The soul's magnet is the ray of light of the beauty. This is why the spirits are affected by passionate longing for each other and are attracted to each other until they are united. This is the case of the uniting of all the different parts of the body according to their various functions, so that it is impossible to separate one part from another. For example, look at the mixing of water with water and air with air and fire with fire. Both bodies are of different elements. They mix together in a similar way. When fire, which is the subtlest of the elemental bodies, mixes with something, you cannot discern the thing from it. Back to page 67. This is the first drop of the ocean of love. Be aware and be with me, and do not close your eyes and fall asleep. Listen with your whole existence. Listen, otherwise you will lose what you yearn to see. You have been waiting a long time for this, so this is your time. This is why Allah, glory be to Him, created the human form containing water, fire, air, dust, and light. He put them in equivalent mixtures, and also put 19 elements in the human being. Allah, glory be to Him, made this number 19 through the words He sent down to His messengers. He spoke of this number in order to speak of each element in the human being. For example, He said, in the name of Allah, the universally merciful, the singularly compassionate, in all of the holy books, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. If you count the letters, you will find that there are 19. There are 114 chapters or surah in the Quran, and 114 can be divided by 19. If you count all the ayat of the Quran, their number is also divisible by 19. And if you count the words of the Quran, they are divisible by 19. And all the letters that are revealed in the Quran are divisible by 19. And yet there is something even more marvelous. When Allah created you a human being, He fashioned you in the best of forms, and in the image He wanted, He combined you in that image. I cannot speak everything that is in my heart, but I will make an allusion. If you were a specialist of the anatomy of your body and counted the number of bones in your body, it would be divisible by 19. And the number of cells in your body also divisible by 19, and the number of arteries and hairs on your head divisible by 19. What is the secret of this number? It's actually an allusion to the secret. It's a combination of 1 and 9, and the 9 contains the 1, but the 9 dissolves in the 1. If you divide 9 by 3, what's the result? And if you divide the 3 by 3, then the result is 1. What is the secret of 1 and 1? With the word, it appears He created 1 and 1, a male and female. But in reality, if you return everything to its origin, everything was created from a single soul, 1. This is the divine sight, the divine mirror. Do you know who you are then? I cannot say more than this. After the food is cooked well, you will know, you will be able to eat it, and then you will be able to taste it. And from later in the book, death is but the cutting of the soul's management of the body. So in reality, that which dies is the body and not the soul. And so the soul that is attached to the body suffers the separation. While in reality, there is no separation. This is the reason that I say beware of breaking the beloved's heart. It is very serious and dangerous. I warn everyone who walks not to break the love between two lovers, or he will be in the hellfire. He will suffer because this is not the way of the people of the way of Allah or of Allah. This is the way of Shaitan, of Iblis. I kiss myself in my existence and I become absent from my state by the state of my beloved. I do not see anything except him in my existence, and he sees me as I see his shadow in my existence. There is no existence to me except by his existence, and wherever I look, I see everything in existence as my existence. You are the ultimate goal of my existence. Let us all repeat the song of my song, so I will never see a prostration except for your face. The gift of existence is my existence. The cup is full and spilling out. So enough. I would like to tell you that the ship of salvation is here. It exists. Allah, Allah, Allah. It takes us to page 68. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.